It is time for another Making Sausage Conversation. We're taking a look at the messy business of how and why politics and government work. We are talking this morning with MinnPost Washington reporter Sam Brody. Sam recently wrote an article on Representative Keith Ellison from Minnesota. He has a bid to be the chair of the Democratic National Convention. Congressman Ellison is in his sixth term as a Minnesota congressman. He was the first Muslim elected to Congress in 2006. He was also the first African-American elected to Congress from Minnesota. And MinnPost reporter Sam Brody joins us now. Sam, thanks for talking with us today.
Yeah, of course. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so why is Congressman Ellison interested in being the DNC chair?
Yeah, so Ellison is sort of, when you look in Congress, is, at least in the House of Representatives, probably one of the most, if not the most, sort of visible voice for really left-leaning progressive politics. And I think after the election didn't go the way a lot of Democrats thought it might, the DNC chair really looked like, the person who would lead the Democratic Party in the absence of sort of an obvious public face, like a president or a speaker. And I think Ellison saw that as a really compelling opportunity. He has a very, very specific way that he thinks the Democratic Party should go in order to start winning again. He's an ambitious guy, and I think that's what he saw, an opportunity to really reshape the party in the way he thinks it should be.
How do you think he wants to reshape it?
Yeah, so, I mean, the interesting thing about the race is that it's sort of become a conversation about politics where the job of chair is really kind of more organizing and administrative. And that's sort of his bread and butter. He's, a longtime political organizer in Minneapolis. And as congressman, he's really put a lot of resources into these Get Out the Vote initiatives in Minneapolis. He and his folks like to talk a lot about how when Ellison was first elected, that district, the fifth, was the lowest turnout district in the state. Now it's the highest. And he's using that as an example of, elect me and I'll bring my know-how of how to engage voters, increase voter turnout to the position of chair.
So who else is running for the DNC chair?
Yeah, so there's a field of about, I think as it stands right now, is seven. Some folks have dropped out since I wrote the article. But Ellison's chief rival is Tom Perez, who he was Secretary of Labor under Barack Obama, and he was also Assistant Attorney General in the first term of the Obama presidency. Has a long record as a civil rights lawyer. He was a county official out here in Maryland. And he sort of entered the race a little later because President Obama, some of his allies were not they weren't satisfied with having Keith Ellison be the front runner because he was pretty much immediately, and some other folks like Howard Dean declined to run. And they wanted an alternative, so they successfully got Perez into the race. So right now it's pretty much seen as being a two-person race between Ellison and Perez. There are a few folks who are getting attention. Jamie Harrison, who's the South Carolina Democratic Party chair, he's a younger guy and has been getting sort of positive receptions. It's pretty much considered that it's going to come down to Ellison or Perez, with maybe another person potentially playing spoiler. So we'll see.
We're talking with Sam Brody this morning. He's a reporter with MinnPost out of Washington, and he recently wrote an article about Congressman Keith Ellison, who's running for the chair of the Democratic National Party, or the convention. Do you think his race and his religion will play into this?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's sort of always the perennial question with Ellison when we, talk about his national profile or national ambitions. It's certainly gotten a lot of play in the national press, sort of old hat to people in Minnesota who, heard and reheard, stuff about his past, for about a decade now, if not more. But, it's hard to say. I think it has exposed some rifts within the party. There are certainly folks, I think maybe the prevailing thing is, there aren't a lot of people who have a problem with it, but are worried that have concerns about, you know, elevating somebody like Ellison to that position and how other people might interpret that. Because the other thing in the DNC race is Democrats are trying to figure out how to win back a lot of those folks who voted for Trump in areas like northern Minnesota and Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. And they don't believe that Ellison just doesn't have the profile to do it. And there's a lot to read between the lines there. But, you know, they're thinking about being very careful about their messenger now, because really high on the party's agenda is recapturing some of those Trump voters, a lot of whom actually voted for Barack Obama in 2008, maybe even in 2012.
Very interesting. So, Sam, you write about how Keith Ellison is approaching his campaign. You say that he's campaigning like he is 10 points behind at all times. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, this is sort of a maxim from you know, the congressman's campaign, and his people sort of believe in it. They just, you know, he'll say pretty readily that he's never assuming that he's winning. You know, it's hard with this race because there's really no way of gauging how it's going. There's no real polling, like in a, you know, a presidential race or a Senate race or anything like that, because it really comes down to those 447 delegates who can cast a vote. It's hard to poll them. Sometimes they'll say that they'll vote for more than one candidate when they talk to the various campaigns. So it kind of creates the thing where in the last week, there's been like competing media reports saying, oh, Perez has this many votes, or actually that's not true. This is how many votes that Ellison has. And so it's really hard to get a handle on the race. So I think in the absence of the, you know, sort of kind of concrete ways to figure out what's going on, Ellison, and I'm sure Perez is as well, but Ellison is really, you know, it's about being on the phone pretty much constantly, trying to get in touch with delegates, sending your staffers out to try and lock up some of those votes. So I'm sure that's what he's doing.
Sam, this is John Bauer. How and when does the DNC vote for chair actually work?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So it's going to happen this Saturday in Atlanta. And the 447 member voting body will convene, and they'll basically keep voting until somebody gets a majority, a simple majority of that, so 224 votes. And the way they'll just can prevent that from going on forever is the lowest performing candidate on each ballot will get dropped. So it's very, very likely that on the first one, two, maybe even three ballots, somebody might not get, they might not cross that 224 vote threshold, but it's possible that later on, you know, definitely later on somebody will reach that total.
So Sam, who's winning?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. It really is, you know, there's a lot of competing reports, like I just mentioned. You know, obviously, I think each camp believes that they're ahead. If the media reports from recently are any indication, Perez's team believes, or at least they'd like people to believe, that they're far ahead. I think really what you're finding when you talk to people is that this could really go either way. And it's possible that there's some, you know, some sort of negotiation could take place. There are a couple of kind of, you know, second tier candidates here who may have the votes to play spoiler or even kingmaker. So, it's going to be wild. There really is a lot of uncertainty. And I think a lot of folks are going to be watching really, really closely how this turns out, because, like I said, it really could go anyway.
What does it mean for Minnesota if Congressman Ellison were to win?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question. Obviously, the most immediate thing means is, you know, Congressman Ellison has promised to resign his seat in Congress if he wins. That creates a vacancy in the 5th district, the most heavily DFL district in the state. That'll set off a special election. There's already a couple folks who said they will run for that seat if the congressman wins the DNC chair race. It's possible it could be a whole lot more. The last time the seat was open, I think 8 people ran. That was when Congressman Ellison won. So that's sort of the most immediate thing. But if, you know, if somebody like Congressman Ellison is elevated to this position, I mean, it could be a pretty big deal for Minnesota. I mean, he would become probably the most powerful Minnesotan in national politics, as basically kind of the de facto head of the Democratic Party. So what that means, it kind of depends on how he does the job, but I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota Democratic candidates maybe got a little more attention. I'm sure he'd be talking a whole lot to the national audience about what he did in Minneapolis, and I think his allies there may get a little more attention, so we'll see.
You can read Sam Brody's story, Democratic National Committee Chair Race, Could Ellison Win It?, at minpost.com. Thanks, Sam. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you both. Appreciate it.